What a great song. Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one who can bring to us the glories of heaven. Jesus is the only one who can bring us salvation. Jesus is the only one who can bring us into God's presence and into a relationship with him. And that's basically the theme of the whole truth of Jesus saying, I am the gate, or I am the door. So let's read the passage from John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and starting at verse 1. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that may have life and have it to the full. I thought about using Brian's video of the gates and doors. I think you've got one of those. Well, I'll put that up. But actually, you know, we don't necessarily need that imagery, because doors are around us all the time. I mean, we came in here through a door, we go out there through a door, and there's doors all over the place, aren't we? Doors that are open, doors that are locked, and our life is full of doors. Think of your house, how many doors there are in your homes. It's just ridiculous, isn't it, really? But to keep us separated, each room separated for a different function. But doors, gates, are just full. Our lives are full of them. Gates to keep people out, out of our back gardens, as it were, you know, sort of around the side of the house even. But the front door to keep people out, and only will we open them to let people in at our choice, depending on the person who's there. Some people we willingly open the door to, and others we're not quite sure about whether to open the door or not. But thinking about this passage particularly, the context of it is the judgment on the false religious leaders, as we saw in chapter 9, where we were given the account of Jesus and the healing of the man born blind. Interestingly, it's a wonderful story. It's a long chapter, actually, isn't it? But there, the blind man, there was the stages of his understanding of who Jesus was. Verse 11, he called Jesus a wonderful man. Verse 17, he called Jesus a prophet. And then finally, verse 38, he believed himself in Jesus as the Son of God, and he gave himself to him. He had seen who Jesus was and trusted in him and followed him. How different to the Pharisees, who refused to see the truth of who Jesus was. Jesus condemns them, for they claimed to know so much, didn't they? But they could not see who Jesus was, and they refused to follow him. And so when we come to this chapter about the gate and the shepherd, Jesus is contrasting the blindness of the Pharisees to the seeing of those who respond to Jesus. This is wonderful teaching about Jesus. It's incredible teaching. And it's fundamental to so much of that we know and understand of God, because Jesus is the gate. He actually is the way to God and the way to blessings. Now, in these verses of this chapter, not that I've just read, but leading on, Jesus calls himself both gate and shepherd. And both of them are so closely linked together, it's actually difficult to actually separate them out. But I'm going to try this morning to separate out from the shepherd the whole truth about Jesus being the gate. And what I miss out, Ali will no doubt follow up with next week. And so I'm looking forward to that. Let's just get the context of these verses in 1 to 6. What is there shown here? The key elements of what Jesus is saying. Well, there's the sheep. That's pretty important, really, for the whole context of this. There's the sheep. But the sheep are no longer just the Israelites. The sheep are now, in Jesus' terms, the people of God. The sheep in the Old Testament were the Israelites and the Jews. But now Jesus is showing something very different. So they're the sheep. Then there's the sheep pen. Sheep pen was a walled kind of construction where the sheep would go in at night, particularly for safety. But in this wall, there would be an opening. And the opening was simply an opening. There was nothing there to stop people going in or for the sheep coming out. It was just a pure opening. And this is really important for what Jesus is saying, because he's actually saying, I am the gate. I'm not the opening, but I am the gate. We have door frames, don't we? And that's the opening into a room, but we have a door that gives access. And Jesus is saying, I am the door. I'm not the frame. I'm actually the door that gives access into the sheep pen and out again. So the sheep could go in and out. But actually the shepherd, the gate there is Jesus, who is to stop that, well, danger getting in. Wolves, sheep, thieves, robbers, whoever, to stop them going in and to keep the sheep in the pen. And then there are the thieves and the robbers. These are those who not only fail to see who Jesus is, but try to get into God's kingdom through different ways, through sacrifices and laws, new rules and regulations, religious stuff, which actually in itself is empty. It's only as we come to Jesus that we find freedom and freedom to live. But it's to keep the thieves and the robbers out the gate. The one who enters the sheepfold is the shepherd. And this is where it gets a little bit complicated in terms of shepherd, gate, and other things. There is Jesus who is the shepherd. And I say Ali's going to cover this next week. But the shepherd is the one who leads the sheep into the sheepfold. But Jesus is also the gate. So Jesus leads the sheep into the fold. The shepherd leads them into the fold, but also he is the gate. So it's difficult to separate the two, but I hope you see what I'm trying to say here, that he is both shepherd and gate. And the gate is the means of allowing entrance or exit from this gap in the wall. But there's something else here which I hadn't noticed until I really studied this passage. There is also the watchman. I don't know if any of you have realized that this watchman is there. And it seems to...
I've probably heard that many, many times before.
And prayed about it. It seems to me... And it is God himself who opens the gate, as it were, Jesus, and enables access for the shepherd, Jesus, to those who follow him. Now, this is... It's all wrapped up, and this is John, really, isn't it, in his great theology and understanding. And when you look at John, he's saying that actually Jesus and God are one. And right at the beginning of John's gospel, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, yeah. And right at the end, Thomas declares Jesus as my Lord and my God. And this link, and Jesus himself is, if you've seen me, you have seen the So it seems to me that something of that is kind of intrinsic in this teaching here that Jesus is giving. But I just give that as a background, because I just feel that that really is important, that we sort of understand that. But the important point here is that Jesus is the gate. He is the access point to what? He's the access point to God. And he is the access point to outside of the sheepfold. And we'll see something about what that means in a moment. So the sheep are the people of God. The flock was understood, as I say, at that time to be the Jews. But now Jesus is saying that the sheep are those who follow him rather than the false teachers. The flock is now made of all those who believe Jesus and follow him. Paul said in Ephesians 2:18, through Jesus we have access to the Father. Apart from Jesus, there is no other way to the Father. We all love the story by C.S. Lewis about Narnia, and four children are sent to a professor's country home in order to find protection during World War II. And they find this magic wardrobe that leads to a mystical land called Narnia, which is being ruled by an evil witch. To defeat the witch, they must join forces with Aslan, the lion god of Narnia. But the way into that land was through a door. And so the access into this wonderful land was through a particular door. And Jesus is saying, you know, it's so important that we recognize there is only one way to God. There is only one way to salvation. And it is only through Jesus Christ. And here as the gate, described as the gate. Verse 9, I am the gate or door. The sheep are those who follow Jesus, the saved. They have access through Christ, the door, but they into the sheepfold, but they also have access back out into the pasture. Now, we have to be careful we don't stretch these things too far. But I think it's interesting we understand this, because it kind of confused me. Well, if you know, what are we being led into, and what's the pasture? You know, but we have to understand that this is a very particular picture and understood in a particular way by the Jews. So it seemed to me, how can I best kind of understand this door? And I was just trying to think of doors, and the best door that I could think of is sometimes when you go into a restaurant and you watch the waiters go out into the kitchen, and very often there is a swing door. Yeah, so it can be quite dangerous at times, particularly if somebody's coming with loads of plates from the kitchen out into the restaurant and somebody's going the other way. But this is a swing door, and it opens both ways. And so that for the restaurant staff, it's into the kitchen and then back out of the kitchen into the restaurant to take the food. And Jesus is saying that I am the door, and you have access into the very presence of God, but out into pasture. I am the gate. They will come and go out. They will come in and go out and find pasture. What does this mean? Well, he goes on to say in verse 10. Because he's the gate, Jesus gives life in all its fullness. Life inside in safety with the Father. Life outside with provision for all life's needs. Now, don't take this too literally about the in and out. For the Jews, they would understand this as a sense of fullness of life, of completeness, of shalom, and the benefits of everything in terms of God and life. We kind of struggle with that concept. But that's the overall principle of what Jesus is actually saying. And he's talking about life in all its fullness. Jesus is the way to life, but also the way to fullness of life. So through Jesus the door, we have access to God, access to safety. Safety from what? Safety from death. We've sung about this in the last song that we sang. Safety from death. Safety from all kinds of dangers that would come our way. Freedom. Jesus said, I've come to give you freedom and to make you totally free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from guilt. You know, one of the things I found in the ministry that really holds people is the guilt of things that they've done wrong. And somehow it kind of holds them. Or fear of the things that they're involved in and don't know quite not how to handle it and know what to do. But Jesus is there to bring freedom from guilt, freedom from fear, and to lead us into life, life in its fullness. You know, Jesus came that we might be set free. And God is the one who brings freedom through Christ. God is the one who brings salvation through Christ. God is the one who brings life in all its fullness through Christ. And there's just an enormous wealth of blessing here if we can just grasp it and enter into the blessings of God through Christ. If you're a person who has guilt because of sin, go to Jesus because he brings freedom. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This morning, do you feel guilty? Do you feel shamed at that you have done in the past? Well, come to Jesus. Because he'll cleanse you and he'll take that away. He can bring us into a relationship with God. Sometimes sin, if you feel guilty, you'll feel that God is miles away, that you're separated from him. But the whole truth of Jesus' gate is that he brings it to the very presence of the living God. Doesn't feel like that a lot of the time, does it? But actually Jesus takes us and brings us into the presence of God. This morning there is this potential of us being drawn close to God through Jesus as we worship and as we open our hearts and lives to him. Wonderful thing that as Jesus, the gate, takes us to the Father, he gives us grace. He shows us grace and mercy because that is what God is, grace and mercy. Do you know God's grace and mercy in your life? Do you know that undeserved favor? Do you know that sense of you being freed from the wrath of God? Because this is the work of Jesus, the gate. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus is just so wonderful, isn't he? Jesus, the door, gives us access to God. There's so many. We could just go through so many things here this morning. But I want to just look at the access to God in a sense of life. Life in its fullness day by day. Jesus gives us God's peace. Shalom. Now, shalom is much more than just a nice feeling. It's the sense of life in all its fullness, really, here and now. It's a sense of peace with God. Peace with yourself and peace with others. Do you feel peaceful with everybody that you know? I would think we would have, most of us, if not all of us, would have to say, well, there are some people where we feel on edge with. That may be at home, it may be at work, it may be wherever. But there are people who we kind of have conflict with. And somehow, if we really trust in God and have that sense of Christ is with us, we should know that sense of peace within. It doesn't matter what's kind of going on outside. Life can be in real turmoil. But Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. This is the peace of God. He gives it to us. And this is, again, the whole process of Jesus involved in bringing us to God and God to us. Peace with one another. But what about with peace inside? You know, we can have turmoil inside of our hearts. We can have turmoil inside of our heads. Jesus said, I've come that you might have not only life, but peace. Peace of mind. Peace of spirit. This morning, do you know that kind of peace? But he also says that there is that peace with God. We don't need to feel guilty. We don't need to feel shamed. We need to live a different life and to put aside the stuff that we've done wrong. But we need to come to God and have peace with him. I just love the truth that when we confess our sins, we are forgiven. But more than that, it seems to me, as far as God sees us, he sees us through Jesus. Now, if you think about that, it's incredible. He sees us through Jesus. He sees us with the very essence and the heart and the life of Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's how God sees us. He doesn't see us as we think of ourselves. Miserable, wretched, blind, weak, helpless, frustrated. He sees us through Jesus. And he sees us, as it were, as it's the only picture I've ever had of this, but it's like Jesus sees us with that white robe of righteousness that John talks about in Revelation. He doesn't see us with the black, the darkness, the despair, and all of that. He sees us through the white robe of Christ. I long it for myself. I just long it for God's people, that they might realize that and enter into the fullness of that. That there is freedom and there is peace because of Jesus, who brings us the glory of God to us. But also we, through Jesus, the door, we have access to great comfort. Life is full of hurts, full of losses and griefs and anguish. But Jesus, as the door, brings God's comfort to us. Isn't that marvelous? The problem is, in those circumstances, we very rarely look to Jesus. We get caught up in our stuff. We get caught up in all of that, and we let it kind of work round and round inside of us, in our heads, in our spirits, and it brings us even lower. We need to look to Jesus, who is the way to the Father, who will bring us great comfort and blessing in our distress. Two more things, and I will finish. He brings us purpose. God has a purpose for your life and my life. God has a purpose in retirement. I found that. You will find that. But whatever our situation, whatever new situation that we find ourselves in or entering into, there is real purpose in that. And we need to lock into that truth, that we are actually being used of God, either already in the place that he's called us or he's calling us to. And I just read something the other day. Well, Mary and I just read it in our devotions. And it was just saying that we need to enjoy what God has given us. We so often fail to do that. I was just thinking of the musicians, we prayed this morning in the room, that We've got, there are gifts. And we need to enjoy the use of those. We come together to worship. We need to enjoy our time together. Yeah? This is what God has called us to. He's called us to give thanks with joyful hearts, with exuberance. And there were a few kind of intimations of that this morning as we were worshipping. But it doesn't have to necessarily be that sense of, sort of exuberance and loudness. But it can just be a sense of actual quietness. Actually, there was one song this morning. I was doing it deliberately, not singing, because I was trying to save my voice. But there was one song in particular where I didn't sing. And I just thoroughly enjoyed the truth of the song. And we need to enjoy worship. We need to enjoy the presence of God. It's not about being made guilty or feeling made miserable. It's about life in all its fullness. Enjoyment. Pleasure. And again, someone just sharing that, you know, the everyday things of life, the food, the clothing, the homes, the gardens, enjoy them. These are things God has given us. And we need to revel in that which God has given us through Christ. And finally, a hope. God has given us a great hope through Christ. Without Christ, there would be no hope. There would be no destiny. There would be no future eternal life. Death would be the end. Thank God it's not. Thank God that there is a future. Thank God that there is a destiny. Thank God that this life here actually is just a stepping stone, or just a beginning of the eternal life that God through Christ has given us. We have eternal life. We're already in that eternal life. It's beginning here, and death is a stepping stone into the glorious one that is to come. Jesus is the door. But Jesus is the only way to these things. There is no other way in heaven and on earth by which we can be saved. It is simply through Jesus. This morning, there are two great truths, I think, come from these verses. The first one is, the door is only open, the door is only accessible to those who believe. Only those who believe can enter through it and can receive the blessings that God has. The door will not be opened to unbelievers or those who try to bypass the door. There is no other way. This morning, have you entered into a living relationship with God through Christ, who is the way? And all the I ams are really saying the whole thing. I am the only. I am the only way, the truth and life. I am the only way to resurrection and life. I am the gate. I am the shepherd. Jesus is the only way. And the second truth locked in with that is, if there is no Jesus, then there is no access to God, no truth about God, and no life in God. This morning, may it be that all of us know the truth, know the reality of being taken into God's presence through Jesus the door. And through Jesus the door, receiving the blessings that come from God Almighty. May it be so that each one of us knows more of that as we go out from here and seek to serve Him and live for Him.